a lot of truth in that song. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Glad you're here today. I know there's a whole lot of fellowshipping, and I've been having it. Eddie came down, Donna, and they spent a couple of nights with me. And he's preaching for Mike Pemberton this morning. And we've had a lot of, he took me out for a Father's Day, and I took him out for a Father's Day. And so I ate way too much. My blood sugar was almost 300. Shouldn't eat that way. Psalm 103. Why don't you stand with me and let's read it. It's 22 verses. I'll read the first one, you read the second one, and so on. Try to stay together. Try to stay paying attention. And pay attention to the words, the absolute beautiful Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord has executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous.
He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
Thank you, Lord.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
For he knoweth our name, he remembereth that we are dust.
As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children.
To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them.
The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, for our healing.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure.
Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence today. We're thankful. We're thankful that you're our God. We're thankful that you're our Savior. We're thankful for this book that we have in our hands. What you've given unto us, how you've made known your ways to us. Give me a freedom and ease to speak, that I may do your will, and that, Lord, someone might be blessed. Touch each heart and life that's here, and I ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. As of coming September the 1st, I'll have been preaching for 59 years. I've made a lot of hospital visits and home visits, nursing home visits, and so on and so forth. And probably my favorite psalm to read when I go into a hospital, when I go into a nursing home, when I feed somebody is Psalm 103. It's just beautiful. I don't think David could have written it when he killed Goliath. I don't think that Did I lose that water? Excuse me. Unstable up there. I don't think David could have written it when he's young. You take a look at this psalm, you study it, read it over and over, and I don't know how I can do it justice. It's just, it's absolutely beautiful. It is deep. I think that it just touches every area of our life. And I think that this is a man that looks back on his life and sees how many places God moved on him. And so I think it's not a young man's thing. It's a man looking back on a very full and varied life and thanking God for what he had in him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all with it, wind within me. Excuse me. I'm dry today. That's why that water's down there, and I don't know why I'm dry, but anyway, I am, and so I may stop for some water every once in a while. But I may also say a few words wrong. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What can you do for God? You ever thought about it? You want to give him $5, give him $500, or give him $5,000? Well, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God is never in need of your money. He gives you an opportunity to be a blessing. Gives you an opportunity to serve him. But I want you to think about it. What does God need? Do you have anything? God is complete in himself. We need God. God doesn't really need us. Praise God that God sometimes uses us. Sometimes he moves upon us. He touches our life in a special way. There are miracles that happen. But you know, they're not every day. They're not just all the time. Sometimes you're going to get sick and God's not going to answer your prayer. Sometimes you're going to have troubles and you're going to have to just go through them. And sometimes the old, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, that's true spiritually. That's true agriculturally. It's true financially. It's true personally. What you sow, you're going to reap. Sometimes that works out. And then there's another time that God in his mercy, God in his wisdom, hears your prayer and raises somebody up. I've had them happen both ways. Some of them you just plain got to go through, and then some of them God just in mercy looks down upon you and gives you a miracle. Something that you just could not have expected otherwise. So what can David do? He said, I can bless. You know, it's a nice thing. It's nice for your kids to say, thank you, Father. That's a nice thing. I agree. Too many things are so commercialized and whatever, but we ought to be thankful. And hopefully you had a good father. If you are a good father, bless you. Bless your heart. If you're a sorry father, a lazy father, a wicked father, well, shame on you. How about doing some repenting this morning? Get your heart right with God. And live an example that your children can follow. Well, anyway, I'm going to chase that rabbit. What can you do? Well, what David's doing, bless. Isn't that a wonderful word? Bless the Lord. May God feel good. May God be happy that you're in his presence. May God want to be with you. May God have good things happen to him. What can we do for God? David says, bless the Lord. And then he says, oh, my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Wow, how good. We ought to be lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, bless the Lord 2 times here, and he closes the psalm with 3 times blessing. I would like to bless the Lord today. I would like to bless the Lord every day. I would like for God to sense blessing that I belong to him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful that I could come with enough love in my heart, enough thanksgiving in my heart, enough understanding of how much I live by mercy and by his grace and not by my own will and my own decisions, my own thinking, my own pulling myself up by my own bootstraps, but that I live by the mercy of God. Wow. I want to bless the Lord too. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And how about all that is within me? No reservations. Nothing held back. Bless the Lord. Why don't you get up in the morning and read this? And then think it. While you're reading it, pray it back to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's a wonderful thing. But you know, the last part of verse 2, and forget not all his benefits. You know, sometimes we don't give God credit. Sometimes we think we did it. Sometimes we think, well, we're just smarter than the rest of the people. Our blessings just come upon us. Bless your heart, you're just blessed because you were born in America. You were blessed if you were born in the Bible Belt. You heard the Bible maybe all your life. And some of you that don't like hard preaching, well, we got soft preaching. There's hard preachers, there's soft preachers. There's fellas trying to walk down the middle of the road. Listen to the television, they got all kinds. If you don't like it, you don't stand a chance when you meet God. You can't say, well, the preachers were too hard. No, no, we got plenty of them that aren't. We can't say, all the preachers were too soft. Hey, we got some mean ones around. I'm supposed to be one of them. But you know what I mean? You have it every way possible. It's on the radio. It's on the internet. It's printed in tracts and people are passing it out to you in the street corners. Your neighbors are inviting you to go to church. There's a revival. There's Vacation Bible School. Go play and learn the Word of God. Wow. Have you ever thought about that as being a benefit? Forget not all his benefits. I thank God I was born to Christian parents. I thank God I was born in a Christian nation. I thank God I was born in the Bible Belt. I'm thanking God that when I went into the service, the Gideons gave me a New Testament. Wow. You know, there are people all over this world don't have anything like that. Don't have anything like that at all. What you had, you are blessed. You should not forget the benefits of God. All right? Forget not all his benefits. And he lists them. Look at verse 3. Forgiveth all thine iniquities. Roland was talking about that this morning. He's been forgiven. Are you forgiven? You have eternal life? Wow, what a benefit. What a benefit. That's something else. All his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Some of you should have went to jail and you didn't. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands. But you know it's true. Some of you got yourself in such messes and you don't even know how you got out. That's a benefit. God blessing upon you. How about the blessing of God watching over your life? Hey, this is my 80th year. If I make it to November the 19th. Wow. Is that because of me? I wasn't too smart. I raced cars when I was young. My daddy and I put in 5 transmissions and 2 rear ends. That's how many I tore up racing. And I'm not telling you to race. Not too smart. But at any rate, how about the blessings of God upon your life that you even made it to this day? People are dying. Over 200,000 a year in the United States. Wow. A lot of people. And you're still alive. You're still breathing God's air. You're still eating God's food. You're still enjoying a fellowship. And God's still letting you listen to the Word of God. How about his benefits? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You should go to hell. Did you know that? Have you ever figured it out? You should go to hell. And the only thing that'll keep you out of hell is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only thing that'll keep you out of hell is not being religious. It's not going to church. It's not giving your money. It's repenting of your sins and taking Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
It's all by faith, and it's all a gift. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You cannot pay it back. You cannot pay it forward. It's all a gift. And if it's not a gift, there's not a soul saved in the world. If anything, any part of your salvation depended on you, you'd lose it. Most of you the first day.
Amen?
Amen or oh me? Who forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Let me tell you something else. He said, who healeth all thy diseases. Man alive, I've been counted for dead several times. I'm still here. I'm not sure exactly why. But it must be because God healed me. Did you know that your sickness is because of sin? If Adam hadn't sinned, you wouldn't got sick. You wouldn't even grow old. You wouldn't have gray hair. You wouldn't lose your hair. You wouldn't lose that perfect, beautiful body that you had. Man, I'm telling you, sickness is a mess. It's because of sin. And sin is in our lives, and sickness is in our lives. And how many times has God forgiven you? How many times has God healed you? Wow. Eddie had spinal meningitis when he was 16. And we went into the hospital and the doctors checked him out. And they told us there wasn't a thing they could do because he had the viral type of spinal meningitis, not the other kind. You know something? That doctor explained to me that every single one of us right now have that virus in our own mouth. The problem is, does it get into your spinal fluid? Does it go from your dirty mouth right on into your spinal fluid and then it messes you up? We're walking around disease all the time. Poor teachers. Every sick kid has to come up to her desk. And they lean over the shoulder to look at the book and she says, can you help me? Isn't it amazing? And you walking right through life, there's disease all around you. Why? Because of God. The mercy of God. How about God healing your diseases? Are they all going to be healed? No, they're not all going to be healed. Just like miracles don't just happen all the time, and God's not going to keep performing miracles over and over again in your life. Sooner or later, he's going to let you die. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Can you thank God today and you remember back all the things you were sick with? Some of them are really dangerous things. They kill people all the time. And yet you've been there and you've been by it. You may have even worked with them. And it didn't affect you. Why don't you get out on your knees and thank God? Why don't you say, bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't fall by the way. That in this living of life and all the things that we go through, you've watched over me. That's a tender mercy. That's a tremendous grace. How about who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? I was preaching a revival meeting in East Texas over close to Nacogdoches. 15-day meeting, morning. I preached four times a day. Got up, went down to the radio station early in the morning. Then at the church at 10 o'clock and the church at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon and the church at 7 o'clock at night. 15 days. Preacher and I went out visiting some old men. This old boy was about as old as I am now. I was about 25. Went out and visited him, walked into his house, and Sat down, very nice house, very pleasant man, seemed like. We sat down on comfortable chairs. And I said, I'd like to talk to you about your soul salvation and where you're going to go when you die. He said, you're a communist, and I'm going to kill you. And he pulled a nickel-plated or stainless steel 38 Special or 357 Magnum right out of his drawer and pointed it right at my face. Hey, I'm still here. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? What kept me from being killed that day? I don't know. If the honest truth was, I was not scared at that moment. I just kept talking to him. I kept witnessing to him. I said, you're lost. You're on the road to hell. And you need to get saved. He said, you're a dirty communist and I'm going to kill you right now. And the preacher and the song leader were with me too. And they said, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. They backed me out, and him with a gun coming with us, backed me out, got on the front porch, and I said, you're still lost, and you need to be saved. You're going to go to hell, and you need to be forgiven by Jesus Christ, and I'm no communist, I'm a Christian. Now, I was not scared. Now, I don't know why. I guess I'm stupid. I was not scared. That night, an older lady in the church had given her house for the evangelist to stay in. So I wasn't in a motel. I wasn't in a town. I was in an old creaky house. Man, that house began to creak in the night and I trembled. I literally trembled. Every time I'd hear something go squeak and squirt, squirt, I said, where's my gun? I was scared to death. I said, I just about kissed my wife for the last time. I just about saw my kids for the last time. What in the world is the matter with me? The guy had a gun. I could see it was loaded. It was a revolver. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Down in Guatemala, there was a man. He told my maid, he said, we're going to kill your owner, your employer. Thank you. We're going to kill your employer because he's down here spreading this Christianity. And of course, she was scared and she comes back and she told us and whatever. And, hey, I don't know how many times I've been close to death. How many times have you been close to death? And you didn't realize it was God. I was pastoring a church out in West Texas when I was going to the cemetery in Fort Worth. Seminary, for all of you. I'm driving down on a Sunday morning early, and it was iced over. Had all my family in the car. All of a sudden, I got on a long bridge. It was a two-lane bridge, but it had barriers on the sides of it, cement barriers. And all of a sudden, I lost complete control of the car. No matter what I did with it, didn't make any difference. And I'm going across the road. And I think I went about that far from the last cement barrier and went down in a 20-foot ditch. And I'm sitting there. You know what? I'm thinking me and my whole family is going to die right here. Me and my whole family is going to die. We got off down that 20-foot ditch and I thought, what am I going to do now? Nobody's on the road. 5 minutes later, a great big gravel truck came by, took a chain, pulled me out, put me on the road again. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Have you ever been to that place? Have you ever had somebody so mad they pull a gun on you or they pull a knife on you or something like that? You don't know what's happening out in this world. There are a lot of people, little girls shot just because her mother wanted to go to the grocery store and they had to walk and they're carrying their groceries home and two or three or four idiots go by and shoot their guns and kill that little girl. But I'm still alive. I'm 79 years old. I'm still alive. You know why I'm alive? He redeemed my life from destruction. All my life had plenty of opportunities. Sicknesses and heart attacks and diabetes and all that stuff. How about this next part of verse 4? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Can you bless God today? You ought to be able to bless God for His tender mercies. Why are you still alive? Why hadn't God just wiped you out already? Is it that you don't deserve it? Oh, I don't think there's anybody in this room that can say you deserve to live. You're so good, God couldn't handle the world without you being around. You're just one of those very special people. No, you're not. No, you're not. The very best of us at our very best state are altogether vanity. It's a real shame. Crown the thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, the mercy of God that's been in my life. And David, the mercy of God that's been in his life. Man fought all his life. He fights Goliath at 17. Right in that range. 17 years old. With a sling and 5 smooth stones. But you know what? This boy's been out. What would be the dullest kind of work you could do? Herding sheep. What does he do for pastime? He just picks up rocks and throws them. He got good. He got real good. Well, he kills Goliath. What happens then? He's a soldier and a warrior the rest of his life. How many times was he close to being killed? How many times and opportunities did he have? The mercy of God. He sees the loving kindness and mercy of God that he could stay alive. Wow. You're here today? Bless God. You're here today? Thank God. Thank God for his blessing that he has crowned you with tender mercies and loving kindness. Number 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. You still eating? Well, you know everything you eat came from God. Billy has said, there's no artificial food. There is no artificial food. If you don't eat the right kind of food for that body you got, which is dust, by the way. If you don't eat the right food, if God didn't give it to you, you wouldn't eat. Do you enjoy eating? I do. I testify to it every time. I enjoy eating. Now, there's a lot of things I don't like, but that's all right. I eat a lot of what I do like. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Let's go get some ice cream. Did you know I can be full and I can still eat ice cream? Are you like that? Hey, how about I get a chocolate bar? I can be full and still eat a chocolate bar. How about you? I'm a diabetic. I'm not a very good one. But I am a diabetic. Let me tell you what. God has satisfied your mouth with good things. Americans? San Antonio? Wow. You ever go through an HEB and count all the different foods that are there? They brought them from Chile and Brazil and Israel and Africa. And good night, you got so many choices. Once I started having to shop for myself, there's just too many choices. Go buy bush beans. They got so many choices, I don't know which one to pick. Which is the best bush beans, do you know? I don't know. He satisfies thy mouth with good things. And he said, so that your youth is renewed as the eagle. I'm not hurting. I may die tonight. Praise God. I'd be happy. It'd be better off for me if I die tonight. That's what Paul said. It'd be better for me to go and be with the Lord. But I got to hang around with you. That's what God's told me, evidently. You know what? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I want you to think about Isaiah 40. Look at Isaiah 40, 29. Isaiah 40, 29. What a beautiful passage of scripture. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's God. That's the mercy of God. That's why David is blessing God. That's why you ought to bless God. Ought to be in your mind every day where God Almighty has done for me. He renewed me like an eagle. He executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know what? I'm glad God's a judge. I'm glad our own courts are not the final judge. I'm glad that the court of public opinion or the court of the world, I'm glad it's not the judge. Do you, by the way, think you can change the Bible by a vote of this church? Some people do. Some people do. They think if we say that this is modern times and these scriptures don't count anymore, that changes it. Does it? I don't think so. I don't think so. I believe the Word of God's finished. I believe it was finished a mighty long time ago. And what we have is complete. And that's wonderful. You got something you can count on. Can you count on your government? How about the people running for president? Are you counting on them? Bless your hearts. I hope you're not. But let me tell you, there's not much they can do. Not even the good ones. Not even the best ones. There's not a lot they can do. What about the mercy of God? Wow. You know what he says? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment. You know what's going to happen one of these days? Everything's going to be made right. The Bible has a phrase, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's been a tremendous thing for me. I have a temper. And I would think the way I grew up, if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back harder. 6 months in bed, sudden death. You know, I'm joking. But the truth of the matter is, can you trust God? You'll be a lot happier if you can. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. When you're angry at somebody, you're not talking about them or you're talking bad about them, you're hurting yourself. They don't even know that you're mad at them. They don't even know that you're offended at them. You've never told them. They don't know. They're just walking through life, just skipping happily down the way, and you're staying up every night because you got your vengeance and your anger. And you, why don't you turn it over to God? Why don't you say, Lord, I don't know how to work all these things out. I think I've really been wrong, but I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm leaving it there. He said he'll repay. Do you believe him? He said he'd forgive your sins. Do you believe him? I do. He said my sins will be as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to say that in this very, very chapter. Do you believe that? I do. Then why not believe God will set everything right? Why don't you quit grinding your teeth at night? Why don't you quit hating that person that you hate, that person that has offended you, that has just done you so wrong? Why don't you just give them unto God and you go to sleep? You know what it'd do? It'd help you out a whole lot. That's one tremendous verse. Now, look at verse 7. I think this one is just mind-boggling. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. You know what you got in your hands? You got in your hands one of the greatest, maybe the greatest invention thing to ever come up on the earth. A written Bible, cheap enough for you to own one. You know what it says here? He made known his ways unto Moses. Now think about this a minute. He made known his ways. You didn't figure them out. The scientists haven't figured it out. They think they got it. Watch your science channels and they'll talk so good and they'll tell you all these things. They don't know. It's guesswork. Sure, they've got some physics and they've got some formulas and some stuff like that. They don't know. They're talking about billions of years. You haven't lived 100 yet. You worried about the up and down of the weather? You know how long we've been keeping the weather? Do you know where how far our data goes back? Maybe 100, 150 years. Hey, I know this world's been here 6,000. Go out there to those big old redwoods in California and slice one of them off and start counting the rings. Some of them were saplings in the days of Abraham. Wow. No, listen to me. He made known. You know why you know what you know? You know why I can actually preach and have some confidence? He made known his ways. That's what I got in the Bible here. You know what your purpose in studying this book is? To know God. You know what the problem is? Some of you really don't know him. You think you do, but you don't. Why don't you find out what God's like? That's what he gave us this book for. What a beautiful thing. Poor old Job. I don't think there was a voice, a word, a sentence of scripture written when he went through his trial that he went through. But what do you have? You have the testimony of Job. You have the testimony of Moses. You have the testimony of God's law that he gave to Moses. And then you come into the New Testament, we have the testimony of the apostles. What the words of Jesus Christ were. And that the Holy Spirit was guiding these words. You have what God has made known. Do you realize what that is? Most people don't. The average Christian has no understanding that what he is handling is what God made known to him. You ought to read your Bibles. You ought to study. And I'm not talking about just reading so many chapters. You ought to just get a thirst for it. You ought to get to the place to say, what does God want me to know? He made known his ways. You'd have never known it if he hadn't have made it known. Can you thank God for that? And the older I get, the more I thank him for that. He made known his ways. He made known his ways to Moses. He's made known his ways to us. Why did he take Paul up there into the third heaven and let him see all the things that are around there so Paul could teach us what he taught us? What a blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, because he made known his ways. Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I'm thankful God's merciful. A lot of us aren't. A lot of us, we sort of exact vengeance. Don't say one rogue term. Don't say it. I'm sorry. One wrong word to me. I'll hold it against you the rest of your life. Don't you ever. Isn't that right? What did he say? I'll tell you what. Is the accent of the children of Israel? Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Now look at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Do you know that? Do you know that you're sitting today and God has not dealt with you according to your sins? Wow. I don't know whether that you're thankful for that, but you ought to be. I'm thankful for that. I look at things that have happened in this life and I think, well, that could have been me. Sure could have been me. I had a boy used to pass me on his motorcycle going to work. Had him a new Kawasaki with all the bright colors. And he just loved to lean and fly on the expressway, going in and out of the cars. And I said, oh, Lord, let him live long enough to get smart. But he didn't. 1 month, there was that Kawasaki on the side of the road all torn up, and he was gone. Wow, the mercy of God upon you. The loving kindness of God upon you. That he has not dealt with you according to your sins. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. He made known his ways. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I want you to look through verse 11 and down through 15. And I want you to look for the words as and so. Two little words. As and so. Verse 11. As the heaven is high above the earth. Do you know that? Can you figure that out? You think that's a long way? As the heaven is as high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Wow. What about an example there? How great is his mercy upon you today? You're just somebody that lives in San Antonio, happened to drop into a West Side church. As high as it is from the heaven, that's how far he's removed your sin from you. That's a long way. It's not like you confessing the same sin every night when you talk to the Lord. Oh, Lord, over and over again. No, no. You tell it to him. You confess it. He forgives you. He removes it. As far as the heaven is from the earth, that's how far he's removed your sin. So, as and so. Look at the next one. As far as the east is from the west. Now, how far is that? The east and west ever meet? They don't meet. East and west don't meet. They don't come together. What does he say? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Why do you keep bringing them back up every night? Why do every time you go to God, you keep telling him the same thing? He's already taken care of it. That's what he's told you. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west. Take his word. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you confess them? Why don't you trust God? Why don't you take this verse, put your finger on it, put a marker in your Bible so you can turn to it. As far as the east is from the west. Wow. That's far removed. That's how far you removed our transgressions. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I was always welcome to come home to Dad. I knew it. I could have done anything in the world. My dad would have still, he might have rebuked me, he might have punished me, he might have done a lot of things, but I could come home. I could always come home. That's the way God is. Like a father pitieth his own children. Wow. I don't know about you, but I had a good father. My dad was an exceptional man. And I thank God for him every day. But oh, I've got even a better father. My father in heaven. Wow. Wow. Like as a father pitied his children, God pities you. God wants you to come to him. God wants you to be forgiven. God wants you to sleep in peace. God wants you to live an overcoming life. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be right. God wants you to trust him. Like a father pities his children. Father's Day, I've got a heavenly father. And wow, has he done a job. I've got a heavenly father. And he's calling for some of his children to come home. Do you know that? I always knew I could come home to my physical dad. I knew that. He made it clear my whole life. No matter what happens, son, nothing can separate you from me. I've got a heavenly Father. No matter what happens. I don't care what you're going through now. Doesn't matter. You can come back to your heavenly Father. I don't care if you've sinned, you've been rebellious, you've been stupid. You can come back to your heavenly Father. No matter what the world tells you. You're through. You're over. You're done. God doesn't want to see you. You can come back to your heavenly Father. That's the kind of love he's got. That's what he bought in our salvation. Wow. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless his holy name. If you're here today and you're not saved, that heavenly Father will save your soul and change your life, forgive your sins, remove them as far as the east is from the west, as high as the heaven is, so far he'll remove your sins from you if you'll just come to him. And oh, my Christian friend, when we get saved, we don't lose all of our troubles. In fact, sometimes we get more. Maybe you got some problems. You got some things that you can't get right. You got some things you're worried about. Why don't you come back to God? Why don't you come to the one that loves you? Why don't you accept what he offers? He offers forgiveness. He offers acceptance. He offers loving kindness. He offers mercy. Wow. Why don't you come to him? Why don't you just turn your heart over to the Lord? Instead of just holding back and grabbing on the seat in front of you, why don't you just come on down and get on your knees, not ashamed of anything? I'm seeking forgiveness and I want to know I'm forgiven and I want to stay forgiven. Can I come back and trust God? Yeah, I can. You can. I have. I've gone back many times. I didn't just repent when I first got saved. I began a life of repentance. My whole life's a life of repentance. And you know what? God hears me every time. He hears me. He forgives me. He gives me peace. He lets me start over. You can do that. Some of you need to start over. You're holding grudges, or you got some hate in your heart, or unforgiveness in your heart. You got some fears. You need to bring them to God. He's a loving Father. A loving Father. Trust him today. Let's stand up. Thing just as I am, without one plea.